Now, as the kiddos leave, I want you to get your Bible out and again turn to Romans chapter 8. And while you turn there, let me just get you prepared again for this message, because this is the third Sunday in a row that we've talked about Romans chapter 8, and it's entitled Staying Motivated. And the reason that God gave me that title is because traveling across the country, even when we just did the church service at the national finals at Resorts World, and there were a couple of hundred people showed up. It was really, it's a bigger crowd than we've had in a while. And it was designed years ago when they brought the national finals to Las Vegas to all be together. And my spiritual dad and mom, Glenn and Ann Smith, ordained me and my wife and my mom. And I don't know, Noel, mom and dad, that was the Prices. But Glenn and Ann was instrumental in my family's life. And he started the first service, Cowboy Church service, years ago at Oklahoma City when it was there, and then at Las Vegas. And they used to come in there, hundreds, thousands would come to the Thomas and Mack, where UNLV plays basketball, etc. And they would have a big church service, and they would come in their bow ties, those stock contractors. And I mean, it was a big, big event. And then Glenn and Ann turned over the national finals to one minister on the first Sunday, Fellowship of Christian Cowboys on the second Sunday. And then the people of the Thomas and Mack needed us not to be in the Coliseum area, so they gave us a room that was outside of it, and it moved from there. I think they was charging for the seating, and so it just didn't work. And they started doing Cowboy Church at different casinos then, because everybody would stay out at different casinos, especially the contestants. And so it split everybody, and now there's probably 4 to 5 Cowboy Church services in Las Vegas. And for that, well, at ours, for some reason, God used me. I didn't ask to go, but He asked me and my wife to come and start ministering over 20 years ago to try to get back the unity. And so we had a lot of contestants show up at Resorts World to get unified in the body of Christ. But as I travel, I've seen motivation kind of dwindle in people's lives through a trial, through a tribulation, something that goes on in their life, and I'm sure you're thinking of things right now that you've gone through, or maybe you're in it right now, that has tried to stop your motivation to serve your God. People quit going to church because of it. They can get offended right here in the church and quit going for whatever reason. No communication with friendships. I mean, the list can go on and on and on. And then, I could get to marriages, and then I could get to health issues, and then I could get to financial issues that people go through. And all of it is designed to rob your motivation. Well, a few weeks ago, I went to Romans chapter 8, and we began to understand the very first verse that says this: there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And I mean, we pumped that. We started talking about how we're, as believers, we are to be led by the Spirit of God. We should stay in the Spirit and not the flesh, because the flesh will take you away from God, but the Spirit of God always draws you to Him. Now, since God gave us a will to say yes to Him and a will to say no to Him, then we've got to stay motivated to constantly, continually stay hooked to the only true hope. And all of it is in the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is the Word of God. Say amen to that. So we've got to stay in the Word of God because, again, faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from this Word and no other. And so we've got to stay motivated, understanding that, yes, we have a will and we can say no to God, but we're learning to continually to be led by the Spirit of God because we're sons of God. All of us, I don't have to do a long Bible study on the flesh. I mean, all of us understand that our spirit man lives in a body. And the body, fleshly body, tries to rule us. It acts up quite a bit. At least this body does. And the Word says to crucify your flesh constantly. I mean, that because that's the truth. You've got to constantly tell this fleshly body to line up with God's Word. When sickness comes on this body, biblically, the body says, no disease or sickness shall come near your body. Well, yeah, but it did. So what do you do? Well, you start learning how to live by the Spirit, not the flesh. Because literally, when you crucify flesh, if there's sickness and disease, you tell your fleshly body to line up with God's Word and be healed in Jesus' name. Because see, that's faith. And you've got to hear that. You've got to constantly be speaking out of your mouth what the Word of God says. I am healed by the stripes of the Lord Jesus. And then find the Scripture. How about 2 Peter? That says just what I quoted. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. All through the Word of God. John, in the book of John 16, or Mark chapter 16, it says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Okay. The thing is, do you believe this Bible? Or like that song we sang at the last, Stone Rolled Away? That was written by a friend of mine because there were some kids that were making fun of him for his joy. And he began to tell those high school kids where his joy came from, the Lord Jesus. And they began to mock him. Oh, come on. How can we believe in a Bible that was written that long ago? Well, I'm telling you, he started speaking this word. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. By Jesus' stripes. Oh, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus to those that believe. Then you, and when you keep reading it, you start finding out Verse 14, for as many who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption where you cry out to your God, not to all the things of the world. No, you cry out to Abba Father, and that's being of the Spirit. Because if you're children of God, you're heirs of God, and you're joint heirs with Jesus, it says. Okay, now I want to start right here where I left off last week on verse, the second part of 17. So again, verse 17, Romans chapter 8. It says, if you're children, then you're heirs. Heirs of God. Now, again, look at me, y'all. You got to meditate. The reason we preach these messages so that you go home and you think, you meditate. What is it when God says you? If you're born again, it's talking about you too. Both. It's talking about all of us believers that you are an heir of God. What does that mean? What does it mean when it goes on to say, and a joint heir with Jesus? And you think about that, and you let it roll around in your mind. I'm an heir of God. What does it mean to be an heir? That means inheritance is coming my way. Praise the Lord. Here, you know, from my earthly standpoint, this you get, usually it's you get what mama and dad or grandma and grandpa left. You get that inheritance. You old ladies, you've already planned it because you told old mama just before she went to heaven that you want her ring. Right? You tell dad, hey dad, I want that old truck. Would you leave that truck to me and don't let Billy get it? Right? But think of it more spiritually when God says you're an heir of His and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That means everything that Jesus did, conquering hell, thank God for that, conquering the grave, He conquered every temptation that Satan himself tried to tempt Him with. Remember? Turn this stone into bread. You know what Jesus always did? He always said, the Word of God says this. He always went back to the Word of God. But look at the next part. After you understand that you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, it says, comma, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Everybody gets all upset about that word suffering. Don't be upset. Don't allow a word called suffering mess your whole mind up like God wants you to go through all kinds of junk. He wants you to get sick so that you know, He can teach you a lesson. He wants you to go through some trial, some tribulation, some wreck so that He can get your attention. And all through the Word of God, all this word suffering literally means is that there may be some trials and tribulations, but the good news is you get to go through them with victory. You get to understand that your God, since you're an heir of His and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, has already conquered all hell, death, and the grave. And He's saying, hey, believer, even if you don't know a whole lot of Bible, you may not have any scripture memorized, but understand this one thing. You're still my son. You still are my daughter. You're still an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And I've overcame so that you can overcome. So that you can live in victory. So that you cannot be a victim any longer. That you can be the victor, praise God. And all God's saying is, get motivated that, yeah, you may go through a few things. You might suffer a few trials and tribulations. But I've given you the keys to the kingdom. I've given you the Word of God. I sent my only begotten Son so that if you would just believe on Him, you're going to have the life, the more abundant life that John 10:10 talks about. Yeah, there's a thief out there that may steal, kill, and destroy. He may try it, but not for a believer, because a believer is going to be protected by the blood of Jesus. If you'll hear the Word of God and you'll understand that really God wants you to have a lot of glorified times. So you got to keep reading. Look at verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. Woo! The glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation. Think about that for a minute. I've always expected good things to come to my life. You know why? Because I've confessed it over and over. I'll get up in the morning and I'll pray and I'll just say, Father, I expect good things to happen to me today. Do you know how many people say the opposite? I wonder what's going to happen today. We've got to have some expecting blessings coming our way. And the only way you get expected blessings is to start believing. Not doubting. God didn't create you to be a doubter, an unbeliever. He created you to believe. Why? Because you're an heir of God. You're a joint heir. If Jesus is your Lord, you're a joint heir with your Lord Jesus. Yeah, but I'm going through some things and I messed up. I did this, I did that. God probably doesn't love me because if you just knew what I did back when. And all you're doing is agreeing with the flesh. And we just got through several scriptures of staying in the Spirit. Crucifying your flesh. Understanding that there's no guilt, condemnation to any of you that are in Christ Jesus. Well, He's my Lord. 1979, May the 10th is when I gave my heart to Jesus. I was made righteous right then. Now, I've done some unrighteous things, but it's kind of being like pregnant. You're not halfway pregnant. You either pregnant or you're not. Is there anybody pregnant in here? Well, if you are, you are. But if you're not pregnant, you cannot be halfway pregnant. It's the same with righteousness. When Jesus became the Lord of your life, no matter what sin you've done in your life, even after salvation, you are still righteous. And when you do unrighteous things, suffering, then that's when you've got to remember that you're an heir of God, and there's forgiveness, there's grace, there's mercy, there's an ability to say no to sin. That's being led by the Spirit, y'all, and not your flesh. Because your flesh is going to get you down. It's going to make you start speaking negative things about yourself. You'll start speaking the opposite of the Word of God. And God's trying to say, hey, for the earnest expectation of this creation eagerly waits the revealing, thank you, Lord, of the sons of God. I knew it'd come out. For the creation, that's all of us, by the way. The creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's talking about us. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, it goes right back to the Spirit, man. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Now let me explain a couple of things real fast. Look, we have a non-glorified body right now that can die, can get sick, etc. What this is talking about is we're eagerly awaiting the adoption of us having a glorified body. You know when you get that? When you get to heaven. That's when you get a glorified body. The only way to stay in a glorified body here, even though there's sin and disease and sickness, is to stay in the Word of God. When a cold tries to come up on you, the flu, instead of saying, well, you know, it's the flu season. It's about that time that we start getting cedar fever. Well, you can have all that if you want it. But if you want to live by the Word of God, since you're an heir of God, why don't you start confessing, you know what? I refuse to participate with cedar fever. I refuse to participate with a flu that comes in seasons. I refuse to participate in the economy of the world because I live in the economy of seed time and harvest. I refuse to live by the temptation of anger and hate. I refuse to participate in things like depression, lack, all the junk that the world by the flesh tries to throw on all of us, since we live in a world but not of it. Rather, why don't we start having an expectation that we live by God's Word? Trying to attain this perfection, praise God. We might do some things that aren't right. We might have these habits that probably aren't good, but why don't you crucify that flesh and start living by this word, mending broken relationships, knowing that your God's for you and not against you, understanding that in heaven, I mean, you're going to be celebrating, and I can promise you, you non-shouters are going to be shouting in heaven. And man, you get so moved and upset if someone raises their hand or screams out a hallelujah or a amen or a hey, I agree with that, preacher. You better understand that you're going to have a holy, glorified body that does not get sick. It's just going to praise your God forever and ever and ever. But here's some expectation that you should live here. Do that now. Don't wait for heaven. Don't wait for heaven to get peace. Have it right now. The Prince of Peace is already there in heaven. You will not need peace in heaven. It's there. So you've got to have it here, you see. All right. But it's going to take some where we're expecting this. All right, let's go on just real fast. Verse 23. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Okay? For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. Y'all look at me just for a second. Do you realize faith is not faith if you see it? Father, I'm just believing for a brand new truck. And then you go out and buy the truck. Thank you, Lord, that it miraculously appeared, Lord. No, really, faith is believing in something you cannot see. That's what faith is. We cannot see the Father. Matter of fact, we cannot see His Son Jesus in the flesh. You know why? Because the Father's in heaven and Jesus is seated at His right hand. Matter of fact, we can't even see physically the Holy Ghost because He's in spirit. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have dreams and visions, etc., because we do. But I have to have faith to believe in a God that is in heaven. I have to have faith to believe in a Jesus, the Son of God, my Savior, that I cannot see, that's seated at the right hand. I've got to have faith that it's true. Now, here's what I do have. I have Jesus written. And all I got to do is believe what it says. And you're going to hear all that negative junk. Well, you know, but men. Men wrote this book. Well, men did write it, but it was inspired by God. And all you got to do is go through it from Genesis to Revelations and make sure that one scripture lines up with the next scriptures. Yeah, you can pull out one scripture and twist it and make it a doctrine. Oh, they've done that in church. Matter of fact, there's a doctrine that started coming up in a denomination that says women are not even to speak in the church. From one scripture of the Apostle Paul telling women, be silent in the church. Ooh, and they took that doctrine and ran with it, man. But if you start studying it, as most of you know, because I've preached this before, is that in those days, in that one church that the Apostle Paul was correcting, the women sat over there, the men sat over there. And the wives were yelling at the husbands, Paul! What did he mean by that? Harry! Because I'm sure they had those kind of names back then. Okay. Bartholomew! Or whatever. And they were being disruptive. So the Apostle Paul in that one church the church at Corinthians, church at Corinth. He said, ladies, hush, be silent in the church. And I'm telling you, it started where there's a lot of times where women can't do anything in the church. You ought to be at my house because the women do lots. I got an amen right there. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-mm-mm. I could keep going on that for a while, but it's 11:49. So look, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Okay, remember, we got to stay in the Spirit, not the flesh, because there's going to be times of weakness. But what does the Word say? What does the Word say? What does the Bible say? Let the weak say, I'm strong. Yeah, but I don't feel strong. Well, you're not moved by what you feel. That's a five physical sense. You're not moved by what you see, you hear, you taste, you smell, you touch. As a believer, if you're led by the Spirit, you're an heir of God. Remember, you're a joint heir with Jesus. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We're not moved by the five physical senses. So, class, what are we moved by? Say it loudly. The Word. We're only moved by this Word. Because fleshly, you can be moved by what you feel. I don't feel worth a dog right now. The way you get around that so you don't suffer in sickness and disease and you go through the trial and tribulation is you understand that what you begin to confess, I'm not participating on what I feel, I'm only participating in what God's Word says. And yes, it's a fact that my body does not feel good, but the truth is that I'm healed by Jesus' stripes. The truth is what the Word says, see. Okay? All right. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession with us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, oh man, I could go into that tongue stuff right here. I mean, there are people that... I mean, there's denominations that teach that tongues is of the devil. And you can't find that nowhere in the Word of God. You know why the devil comes against it? Because the Bible does say that when you speak in your heavenly prayer language that only God understands, that no devil understands, no man understands it, the devil's going to come against that. Why? Because he can't understand what you're praying. And there, because when you pray in English, he can understand it. And he can come against it. But he can't come against a heavenly language called that the Bible talks about tongues. All through the book of Acts, you ought to study this Bible. It's a cool book. We teach that in Bible study, though, a lot of times. Because there's times when you go, wait. I was taught this. And in Bible study, you can get some teaching. All right, well, wait a minute. Let's see. What does the Bible say, though, about the baptism of the Holy Ghost? The second baptism, you know, in Acts chapter 1, where the Bible says that there's the first baptism is water, baptism of water, the death, burial, and the resurrection. If you have never been water baptized, you need to be. And we're going to do that here real soon. If there's anybody that needs, someone called me the other day that wants to get baptized, unless you need to be baptized, that's the first act of obedience, right? But then there, the Bible says, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now, so that you'll be a witness. That power, the witness to be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Man, yeah. But again, when you walk in the Spirit and not the flesh, you're going to want to start finding out about a lot of this stuff that you wasn't taught growing up in your denomination. Okay, so that's why it's very, very important that we stay in the Word. And if there's one scripture that gets twisted, that becomes a doctrine, no, you better back it up with several. verses of the Bible. And you will. It'll just line up. You cannot tell me that there's not healing. Because the Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he healed blind Bartimaeus, he's got to heal you. All you got to do is believe, though. All right. I can just keep preaching and preaching and preaching, but then you got to deal with the flesh, and it gets hungry. Gets ready to eat some chicken fried steak and French fries and corn. Then your wife in the spirit will say, you need to have green. And your flesh will go, but I don't like green. And then the spirit, not saying she's the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost works for that. And then she says, at least have a salad. Okay. Well, I don't put anything on my salad. I have a dry salad with grated cheese, extra cheese. Okay, that's my dressing. Then the spirit part says, you're weird. Listen, you got to have fun serving your God. Amen? You live in a world, so you're going to have to continue to live in it. Just don't live of it. That's why you come to church, y'all. As you start learning, what does the Bible say about this? And then you go to Bible study. And we're going to do some good things in Bible study. I mean, we're going to have a little change, I think, about Bible study. And so when we get back to Bible study in a couple of weeks, then don't miss it. I'm praying about some different things about Bible study. We may do like when we started, and the ladies will go one way and the men will stay in this way. And I might do some of the teaching. And I don't know. I'm going to talk to our leaders. And I mean, we need to all get in agreement that you know, Bible study used to be 60 and 70 people, and we're down to about 20 or 30. Well, it's because we got to get motivated again. And I could see a shift in my life where I need to be here a little bit more, maybe. So you're going to start seeing me quite a bit more. Are y'all okay with that? It would be bad, nah. We really like you coming every now and then, brother. It's time to get motivated, Morris. Get fired back up for your God. Amen? Get fired back up to get your rear in church. Can you say rear in church? Your buttocks. Needs to be in the seat. Amen. But God created me this way. He says, yeah, just stay silly, you know. But thank God for the power.
Yes.
Amen. The power of the Lord. Man, do you realize how much God loves you? I'm telling you, I see the Lord all over that boy. Man, he loves you. I mean, I'm always drawn to this side for some reason. I don't know if it's because y'all just need God more or... I'm kidding. I don't know why. Y'all are really good on that side, I guess. Y'all are like, that's right, brother. Praise the Lord. I'm always drawn. I don't know why. It's this side. So if y'all want to start getting on this side and... And then I make myself, okay, let me go over here. And there's got to be some ornery people on this side. Who? There he is. Everybody in this place, repeat this prayer. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. Everybody, thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life and saving me. Jesus, become my Lord. Become my Savior. Become my friend. Forgive every sin I've ever committed. Jesus is now my Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, and I know everybody confessed it. All of us, we confessed that prayer. And I know that the majority in here are saved, born again. Jesus is your Lord. So it wasn't that you were praying to get saved again. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, you're born again. And you got to have confidence in your salvation, regardless of sin, mistakes, etc. But if you just prayed that prayer and you just gave your life to Jesus and you said it with your mouth, Jesus, come into my life. And we all said it together. If you just did that for the very first time, in other words, you didn't know what would happen to you if you died. Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? Well, if you just prayed that prayer and you gave your heart to Jesus, the Son of God, I'm telling you, you will bust heaven wide open when you leave this earth. But here's the good news, is you have hope here on earth. You have a Savior. You have a friend. You have someone to talk to when it seems like no one else will listen. And all you got to do in your prayer life is just share your heart with your God and say, Jesus, help me. I need wisdom. I need to know what to do about this situation. Or you can just be his friend. Just say, Father, thank you for breath. Thank you for health. Thank you for love, the blessing. You see, if Jesus is your Lord, you have all of that hope here on earth, like heaven. But if you just gave your life to Jesus and you prayed that prayer with all of us, I want you to make it known. In other words, don't be ashamed that you just gave your heart to Jesus. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to count to three. And when I say the word three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you just prayed that prayer and you asked Jesus to come into your life and you meant it. And you never had before. When I say three, one, two, three, I want you to raise your hand up. And here's why I have anyone raise their hand no matter where I'm at in this country. The reason I have people raise their hand is because I want you to confess before a man, because this is what the Bible says. If you'll confess Jesus before men, Jesus says, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. And what it does is it gives you confidence that you're not ashamed to tell people you just gave your heart to Jesus and you never had. You never understood it, but here at this church, you want to give your heart to the Lord Jesus. Not a church, not a denomination, not a preacher. To Jesus. The one we just celebrated a few days ago, His birth. If you just gave your heart to Jesus and you prayed that prayer and you meant it, when I say three, get your hand up with boldness. Ready? One, two, three. Go. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. I knew it. I love you, man. He's my brother now. Anybody else? Raise that hand up, put it right back down. You just have this heart for your Lord Jesus. All right, look at me. It's an honor when people get saved. And it happens every Sunday. But all you guys that raise your hand, even watching, you're now my brother. You're my sister in Christ. When I'm hurting, and preachers hurt, y'all, you should see the attacks that ministers are under a lot. But I don't care. I know my God. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. But I need brothers and sisters in Christ. We're family. So we got to start treating each other like family. Amen? Did y'all have a good time this morning?